I've been learning that there are two things that will help you keep it real. There are two things that will help you keep it real. That's what I decided to name this message this morning. The two things that will help you keep it real. First of all, we must realize that there are only two men in the earth. Only two. Jesus and Adam. Those are the only two men in the earth. And once we realize that, then we can come to an understanding of what we're actually dealing with and what we're fighting with. In the fourth chapter of Luke, in the fourth verse, it says, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." It didn't say every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, but it said every word of God. What that means is that you don't have to wait to hear God to give you a word. That means every word. That means every word that's in the Bible, you can believe. I'm not fooling with it. It can hang right there, Sister Norma. It sounds pretty good just like that, don't it? Glory to God. So God is trying to let us know that every word that you read in this Bible is for you. Every word that you read is to encourage you. Every word that you read is to strengthen you and to uplift you. Every word that you read is to give you a chance to bring forth joy in your life. Every word that you read, you don't have to wait to hear from me or hear from the other associates, but you can hear from God. And the way you hear from God is in the Word of God. So we have to keep it real. We have to keep our faith in God. That's one of the ways that you keep it real, by keeping your confidence in God, in the Word of God. But if you don't read the Word, if you don't study the Word, then you won't have nothing to trust in. You've got to read it. You've got to study it in order to have confidence and trust, in order to believe that the promises that God has promised you shall come to pass. It's the Word of God, Brother Tony, that will reveal to you what you need to understand and what you need to know. It's the Word of God. We've put a lot of emphasis on so many other things, but it all comes back to the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God says you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthen you. The Word of God said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The Word of God said the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Word of God said, cast down all imaginations. The Word of God gives you all this advice and all this stuff to stand on to help you make it. The Word of God said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. All this word that God has given us that we might stand on and that we might have our confidence in and our faith in. That's what this Bible is for. This Bible is to strengthen you and to fortify you. But if you don't read it, if you don't study it, then you will find yourself falling short. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that every man shall not, that man shall not. The word shall is a continuance. It means that there's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt. Every man shall not. You cannot live. And when it talks about bread, the word bread is emphasizing food for the belly, or things that feed our flesh. Things that we like and things that we enjoy that separate us from God. It's quiet in here this morning. Somebody yell. Okay, hallelujah. So Jesus was answering him. He said, for man shall not live, or his life shall not be governed by what he likes. Well, supposedly, it's not supposed to be. But we get caught up and we make mistakes and we do things and we stumble. But we shall not, the Bible says, we should not have to live, or our lives should not be surrounded or be controlled by the circumstances of our lives or the situations that we go through. We have to keep it real, and you keep it real with God. Somebody do me a favor. Roll that thing up, because I keep looking at it, looking for the words. Thank you very much. And so Jesus is saying, keep it real. By bread alone, but every word of God. See, and there's something in that, every word of God. When it says every word of God, it's talking about the everlasting gospel too. It's talking about the Old Testament. It's talking about the Gospels. It's talking about the epistles. It means the whole Bible from front to back. The whole Bible. God wants us to be able to use the whole Bible for our influence and for our strength and for our fortification, for our deliverance and for our healing and for whatever it is that we have need of in God. He wants us to be able to use the whole Bible, not just sections of it. Some people just preach from the Old Testament. Some people just preach from the Gospel. Some people just preach from the epistles. But God said the whole Bible is the Word of God. A whole Word, a continual Word, an authoritative Word, a powerful Word, an anointing Word. Even in the old, we can use the old to point to the new and use the new to point back to the old. Why? Because God's word is infinite and it's directive and it's the concepts and the precepts that he is demonstrating before us. And he said, man shall live by the every word of God. Every word that you can read in this Bible has something to do with the lifestyle that God has planned for us to live. Amen. And as I was reading this, there are three different levels, three different phases that you will go through in your life that you will have to deal with, that the enemy is going to try to separate you from. I know we see the devil in here, but he is called, he is the tempter, deceiver. A lot of times you need to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have everlasting life. Search the scriptures to find out what God is actually trying to say through the word, through every word, so that you'll get a clear understanding of what is for you. The Bible says, for my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, for the lack of not knowing or having an understanding of what God has promised you in your life, or what God has promised for you. It's unfortunate that we know more about other folks than we know about ourselves. Go to Galatians, the first chapter. Two things that will keep it real is by standing on the word of God. And another one. And when you stand on the word of God, you understand that Jesus said what? When the veil was rent, Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. So then you ask yourself, if I'm going to have confidence in the word, what is he talking about? It is finished. What he's talking about when he says it is finished, he's talking about it's already done. My blood has already paid the price for anything and everything that you might possibly think of or imagine to go through. My blood has already paid the price for it. It's finished. Your troubles are finished. Your trials are finished. Your circumstances are finished. You say, but I'm still going through it. I'm still having problems. I'm still having problems in my mind. I'm still having problems in my heart. I'm still experiencing things in my flesh. That's because we haven't come to a place in God where we can look past the circumstance and see the blessing. The blessing never moves. The blessing never changes. It depends on how we look at it and our understanding on where the blessing is. The blessing is right here. Jesus said, for the kingdom of God. John said, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, where is the kingdom of God? Here. Where is the kingdom of God? In you. And if the kingdom of God is in you, then all the power and authority that you need is in you. We have to take authority over the things that are going on in our lives and realize that these things cannot control us. If you think back, look at what you've given up for the kingdom. Look at what you've given up. Look how hard you fight. And you know what? I was sitting there and I was studying and I was praying. I was saying, Lord, you know, I'm tired of fighting. And Lord said, what you fighting for is finished. I said, Lord, I'm sick of the battle. He said, didn't you hear me tell you that it's finished? I already fought the battle for you. The battle's already been won. When they put Jesus on the cross and sacrificed him, the battle was won. So if that same Jesus is in us, then we have victory in us. So regardless of what we go through, we have to do what? Keep it real. Keep it moving. Don't let stuff stop you from doing what you need to do for God. Don't let stuff stop you from loving folks that persecute you, folks that hate you, folks that envy you, folks that are jealous. You have to keep it real. You know who you are in God. If you don't, you need to find out. There's only one way you're going to find out, and that's in this word. In Galatians, in the first chapter, and the 10th verse.
For do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What is he saying? The gospel is the good news. That's what he's saying. The gospel is the good news. If I do persuade men, or do I try to persuade men, or I try to persuade God? I understand that there's only two men in the earth, Adam and Jesus. If I understand that, then I also understand that the gospel is in the earth for what? To produce life. And if I allow the gospel to do what it does, we are here to remind folks that the veil has been rent and it's finished. Meaning that our sicknesses are already been healed. How many hear me? Our financial problems have already been taken care of. All of our trials and tribulations have already been dealt with. But where the problem is here. Because we can't feel it, we can't sense it, so that means puts us in a place where we don't understand it. And anything we don't understand, we have fear of. But the word of God said, I did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind, or the soundness of mind, or the soundness, or have a great state of mind. So therefore, we're keeping it real by understanding that God has already made provisions for us. We're keeping it real by understanding that we can't stand on anything but the word of God. We're keeping it real by understanding that there are things going on that we can't allow to separate us from the love of God. And a lot of times, we get ourselves in a situation because we're trying to please somebody other than God. Oh, my God. So who do we seek to please? The word seek means to not to look for, as in seek ye first kingdom of God, but the word seek means to portray. Who are you portraying to please? Who are you trying to please? I got a lot of preacher friends, and they got this thing, I don't know what it's called, I haven't put a name on it yet, but they got this thing where they like to tell you about their messages. I'm going to be preaching to such and such, and the name of my message is this. And I'm standing there going, so what? Not trying to be mean or anything, but I don't want to know what the name of your message is. Go preach it. And I'm finding it more and more and more that they want you to know what they're preaching. And they ask me, what are you preaching? I have no idea. How can you not know what you're preaching? I have absolutely no idea. I study stuff all week, but I have no idea what I'm going to preach. I used to try to tell Brother Tim what I was going to preach, and now he just gets to the place, if I mention something, he laughs. Because we should be led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you preach what God puts on your heart that the people need for that specific day. You can't pre-plan God. And that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to pre-plan God. Preordain the circumstances in our lives. Only thing you can preordain is to create a spirit of worship around you. Because in your worship, God will dwell. God said, I'll inhabit the praise. So we have to create an atmosphere of praise. I mean, sometimes I don't feel like praising him. Just normal. Get tired. Be weary. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, but boy, said, I'll put no more on you than that which you can bear. But I'm going, Lord, have mercy. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Seem like my head's spinning around like the Exorcist. Because we know what the word says. The tough part is doing what it says. The reason it's so hard because, like I said, there's two men in the earth. Where's the earth? In you. You are the earth. And there's two men in you. And one trying to be stronger than the other. That's why you have to keep it real by standing on the word of God. If you stand on the word of God, then you'll yield yourself to the power of God. If you stand on your own responsibility or your own power, then you'll stand on your own abilities. Some folks it just behooves me that some folks think that they don't need the word of God. Some folks feel like if you give me a prophecy, I can make it. I done got a ton of prophecies, and I'm still grinding. I'm still scraping, trying to get to the top, get to the mountaintop. with all the prophecies that I received, it hasn't changed a thing. Because until I'm transformed in the renewing of my mind, and I let this mind that's in Christ Jesus be in me, then none of these things ever have a chance of happening. So we keep it real and realize that we have to do the work that God has called us to do. We don't seek to please men, but we want to be the servants of God. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God has given us a word that comes direct from God. It's a revelation, it's revealed knowledge that God has given you, and a lot of times the revealed knowledge that God has given you is only for you. It's to help you in your troubles. It's to help you through your trials. It's to help you through your circumstance. It's to help you through your persecution. It's to help you through your sicknesses. It's to help you through your discouragement. It's to help you. God will give you a word, but you got to keep it real and understand that the only thing that you can stand on is the word. You can't stand on a prophecy. The word God says, for prophecy shall fail. You have to have confidence in this word. I'm learning. I'm being taught at this very moment, Fatima, that I've got to have confidence in God. And the only way I have confidence in God is to stand on the word. Sometimes standing on the word makes you mad and makes other folks mad. But I guarantee you, you didn't get it from a man. You got it from God. The second thing on how to keep it real with God is don't allow yourself to become a victim to your circumstance. How many hear me? How many know what a victim is? Victim is someone that's been taken advantage of. Something that has happened to them that is out of their power. So we don't want to be a victim to that. We have financial deficits going on in our lives. We don't want to be a victim to it. The way you become a victim is you allow that victim spirit, that attitude, to get into your mindset. Whereas instead of talking to God and talking to that thing and binding that thing or rebuking that thing, you allow that thing to have authority in your mind. And you begin to create in your mind, I'm a victim. And as long as you allow yourself to be a victim, you will become a victim. I'm tired of being a victim to my financial difficulties. I'm tired of being a victim to my circumstances. I'm tired of being a victim to my mindset. I'm tired of being a victim to persecution. I'm tired of being a victim to sickness. I'm tired of being a victim to affliction. I am tired of being a victim. How do you stop being a victim? By doing what we did in the first place. By standing on the word of God. By obeying God's word. Regardless of what it'll cost you. And it will cost you. Folks assume that when you're going through bad things, it costs you something. But you can be going through having everything going right, and it'll cost you something too. The blessing costs you. Because as soon as you get blessed, here comes something to try to snatch it away from you. But nevertheless, we do what? We know that it's real. We know the realization of it. So we keep moving. We keep moving. We keep pushing. We keep pressing. Why? Because we understand that there's a prize that we're trying to get to. There's a prize that we're trying to reach. And the prize don't have nothing to do with a chair or a car or a house or a ring or a diamond. But the prize has something to do with a nature and a character that God is trying to manifest within us so that our lives might shine as light and not as darkness. That don't mean that you're perfect. We may never be perfect. But we can come to a place in our lives where we can be so mature in God that we can see those things that are not as though they are and start to speak to them and see it be removed. We cannot allow ourselves. We have become victims to hurt. We have become victims to pain and agony. We've become victims to stress and disorder. We've allowed ourselves to become victims because we've taken this stuff into our mindsets and we've allowed it to enter into our hearts, and it is destroying us secretly. Because we can't talk to anybody about it because everybody's busybodies. So you hold it and 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 you hold it. And you hold it, and you hold it. Next thing you know, you plop down, and you're still holding it, and you're still holding it. Next thing you do, you lay it out on the floor. I'm not going to lay out because I had a hard time getting up the last time. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is, it does something to your physical being also. If it destroys your mindset, it will destroy your body. And if it can destroy your body, it can destroy the work that you have to do for God. So you have to not allow yourself to be victimized by what you're going through. Be victimized by your trouble. Be victimized by your situation. Because it is out to destroy you and to kill you. So what we do? We live by faith. I'm closing. Go to Philippians 4 and 11. In keeping it real, we stand on the word of God. By standing on the word, we don't allow ourselves to become victims to the things that we have to go through or the things we have to deal with or the things we have to put up with. We don't become victims, but we become the authoritative one over it. The way you control it, you can't stop folks from hurting you. You can't stop problems from happening. You can't stop tribulation from coming, but you can stop it from affecting you by not letting it affect your praise and your worship in God. The moment something starts to affect your praise and affects your worship in God, then it has affected, you have become a victim. And when you become a victim, then you have no desire to praise God. You have no desire to worship Him. You really have no desire to serve Him. You're just going through the motions. Because that's what you feel like you should be doing. And when you get to a place where you're just going through the motions, then you're no blessing to nobody. In this verse, it says, in the fourth chapter of Philippians, the 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and on all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But in all this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What's he saying? Regardless of what I go through, whether I'm abased, I have learned to be strong. Whether I am abound, I have learned to be strong. Whether I'm instructed to be full, I have learned to be strong. Whether I am hungry, I have learned to be strong. Whether I abound and suffer, I have learned to be strong. Why? Because it is the Christ in me, my hope of glory, that has empowered me that I might do the work that God has called me to do. Because I now understand, as long as I stand on the word of God and have confidence in the word of God, then I have faith to believe that all my problems have already been taken care of. Therefore, instead of getting caught up in the storm, I keep moving through the storm. Instead of allowing the storm to affect my mindset, I affect the storm by my praise and my worship. Because I refuse to become a victim anymore to my surroundings. I refuse to become a victim to my situations. I will not be a victim to my problems anymore. Because you got a work to do for God. There's a call on your life. God's called you, chosen you for something special. And the devil don't care nothing about you because Jesus done already whipped him. Whipped him, beat him up, took everything from him, everything. He don't have nothing but air. And now you breathing that. So you taking that. So the victory is ours, saith the Lord. So we have to remember that. And remember that it's God in us that strengtheneth us and empowers us. Regardless of what we go through, forgetting those things, bringing them under subjection to the power of God, forgetting those things which are behind us, pressing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, so that we don't become a victim and we live by faith and not by sight. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. I know I talk kind of fast. I'm trying to fit three messages in one service.